We appreciate all of you being here tonight. I'm going to be speaking for the next 30 minutes, and if it's convenient for you, would you please stand? No, I'm teasing. I always wanted to do that. I assume most of you didn't feel that it was convenient, but appreciate your being here. You know, that really would be an unrealistic expectation. I want to share with you tonight what I really believe are unrealistic expectations that we often have of one another. Now, you may not believe that you're unrealistic in your expectation of your mate, perhaps your friends, perhaps people in the church, but I often believe that we're all guilty sometimes of just demanding too much of other people. One thing that has always bothered me is when the President of the United States speaks and all of the commentators get on television and they start trying to tell you what he really said and what he really ought to be doing. The other day when the news broke about the swine flu and the possibility of maybe some kind of epidemic here in America, people got all excited about it and wanted the President to fix it. And I thought to myself, you know, and I'm certainly not a Barack Obama fan, but many of you know that, but if you don't, you do now. But I do honor him because he is the President of the United States of America. But one thing that really troubled me was the fact that many people believe that our president ought to be able to solve and conquer that problem immediately. And I thought to myself, what is Barack Obama going to do about the swine flu? I thought to myself, you know, how unrealistic we are and how demanding we are that certain people fix certain things. Sometimes people come to Dale and I in the church, and I'll allude a little bit more to that in a moment. And sometimes they come and they start demanding certain things. They want certain things. You know, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And they believe that everything is fixed or should be fixed within a matter of a few minutes and the problem is solved. Whammo. Doesn't happen that way. Let me begin by telling you that probably one of the places where we often find ourselves with too many unrealistic expectations is in the home and between a man and his wife or a husband and his wife. I've often been led to believe, as I read the Bible, that God does have certain expectations of a husband and a wife. And if you were to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, you would find where the Apostle Paul said that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And he is to nurture his wife. He says, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. But on the other hand, it also says that the wife is to be submissive unto her husband. The Bible said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And so I believe that there is a mutual submission that takes place. As a matter of fact, before Paul begins those words, he says there in the Ephesian letter, chapter 5, that they are to submit themselves one to another in the fear of God. And then he begins to address the responsibilities of the husband, and then he begins to address the responsibilities of the wife. And he concludes by saying, you know, let every woman see that she honors or reverences her husband. Well, problems often intensify in the family circle because of the unfair demands and expectations that are often placed upon one another. Someone said that we would have more golden wedding anniversaries if people practice what we call the golden rule. And I really believe that to be true. I read some things the other day I want to share with you about the home and about what marriage is all about. And I always appreciate young people who especially when they find a Christian and they decide they're going to get married. And I read something the other day that a man on his 50th wedding anniversary in Arkansas He was a husband, and he explained how they had had a happy marriage all of these years. He said, "I rule the roost, and my wife rules the rooster." Well, you know, maybe that's the way it goes. I don't know. But I don't really think that's the way it's supposed to go, however. In an Arkansas man said one time that people shouldn't get married on Sundays because it's just not right to gamble on holy days. Well, you know, it should be that marriage is not a gamble, but that it is a relationship and a commitment that people make at the altar. They come forward to say, "I love you and I will be with you all the way until the end." Some people marry for better, for worse, you've often heard it said, but not for good. An Oklahoma woman one time refused to marry her boyfriend for religious reasons. He was broke and she worshiped money. Well, that may be true too. But I've often, again, as I read the Bible, found many, many times throughout the scripture that the husband has certain expectations of God. He is to be the spiritual leader in the home. He is the one who should step forward and lead his wife and lead his children in the way of God. The Bible does not say, "Mothers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." But it does say, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." It is incumbent, I believe, on every husband and upon every father to be the spiritual leader in his home. Sometimes husbands are a little overbearing with their wives. Would you agree with that? And all the wives said amen. Yeah. Well, they are sometimes. And we hear a lot and have heard a lot in recent years about spousal abuse, about women who are often abused by their husbands. Now, and that can happen in a physical way, but sometimes, and I think probably the way that it more occurs in today's world, is by the husband who often speaks demeaning words to his wife. There is that verbal abuse that they often take, and that is unwarranted, and it is unreasonable, and it is wrong in the sight of Almighty God. Husbands must be reasonable in their expectation of their wife. Now, by reasonable is not behavior that is always rational. You know, many of us as husbands always believe, and we have that propensity again and that tendency sometimes to believe that we're always right. You know, we've got it figured out, and you know, if it's not rational, it's not right. If I can't rationalize it in my mind, then it's not right. God says that we are to be reasonable. I have heard husbands sometimes say of their wives, "You ought to know what I wanted before I had to ask for it." Well, isn't that something? Well, you know, that's unreasonable. That certainly does not conform to what the Bible actually teaches, is it? Nobody can read the other person's mind. Now, I can't read my wife's mind. She reads mine every now and then, but I can't read hers. But the Bible says that the husband is to love his wife. And that means that he does nourish her and he cherishes her as God loved the church. And if you go back and look at Ephesians 5, by the way, he is speaking more about Christ and the church than he is about the marriage relationship. Now, he's talking about husbands and wives parenthetically there. And if you don't believe that's true, go back, because he says, "I speak concerning Christ and the church." He says, "Nevertheless, let..." Follow what God says about the husband and the wife relationship. Sometimes wives are too demanding of their husbands also. And all the husbands would readily say amen to that, I think. Well, they are. And sometimes wives are those who often say, "Well, we're going to do it my way or else. And if you don't conform to what I say, I will treat you as cold as a cucumber." You know what I'm talking about, don't you? A married man one time was accused of being a deserter, but it turned out that he was only a refugee. Well, a sure way to destroy a marriage is to be unfair and unrealistic and your demands of your mate. Now, I know that marriage is something, when you enter into it, you know very little about it. How many of you agree with that? Y'all all agree that when you entered into marriage, you knew very little about what you were getting into. Someone said that some of those who embark on the sea of matrimony know very little about navigation. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, that's true. I woke up one day after we got married, and I was astounded. I thought, what have I done? You know, and my wife thought that too. She thought after she married me, she thought it was love at first sight, and then she wanted to take a second look. We all perhaps sometimes find ourselves like that because we feel like this is not what I thought it was going to be. I'd just like to have a show of hands here tonight. How many of you actually felt that after you got married that it all turned out just exactly like you thought it was going to be? Anybody? Anybody here tonight? You can see where we are with this. Unrealistic demands, and we are so unrealistic at times. We are. And a wife demands too much sometimes of her husband, and a husband demands too much of his wife. Husbands and wives should love one another more, share the responsibilities of the relationship. Now, one thing that really bothers me in today's world, and people say, well, it takes two incomes for us to make it. It does. And I understand the nature of things today and the culture in which we live, and sometimes it does take two incomes. Doesn't always. Sometimes people say, well, it takes two incomes for us to make ends meet. Well, you often wonder what ends you're trying to pull together. But at the same time, it does take two incomes many times for people to make it in life. I understand that. But let me tell you something else that really bothers me. And that is when a man who expects his wife to go out and become gainfully employed feels that she should bear all the responsibilities of the home and the house by herself. He comes in and he says, hey, I'm tired from a long day's work. And he hits the couch like a couch potato, and he expects her to do all the house cleaning and the cooking and the washing and the vacuuming and taking out the trash and all those things because he is the head of the house. Shame on anyone who feels that way. Matter of fact, in most situations, I've heard guys say that. Well, I'll never make the bed, you know. I'll never take out the trash. I'll never do dishes. One thing I've learned, those fellas hadn't been married long. You'll live to eat your words. You may remember the story of the man who finally stood up to his wife, and she was always berating him and telling him what he could do and what he could not do. I mean, you know the type of woman I'm talking about. Don't look at your wife. But you know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, he had finally decided that he was going to stand up to his wife and tell her like it really is, like most men would. He stood up to her and he said, listen, said, I am going out on the town tonight, and I'm going to stay out as late as I want to. I will decide what I want to wear. And he said, you know who's going to tie my tie? And the wife said, yeah, Bailey Foster Funeral Home. Unrealistic expectations. Let me tell you another area, not only in the relationship between a husband and a wife, but there are unrealistic and unfair expectations regarding the parent and child relationship. Many times parents are really unfair with their children. They are. Many times young people are unrealistic with their parents and their expectation of mom and dad. And surely we must strike a balance in that relationship as we do between the husband and the wife. Do you know the Bible says that God does not place upon us any more than we're capable of handling in life, be it trials, temptations, whatever you want to call it. And he says, and with that same trial or temptation, he will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Now, if God does not place more upon us than we are capable of bearing, By the same token, wouldn't it be fair for parents to treat their children in the same way? You don't expect more of your children than you ought to expect. One thing that bothers me sometimes is when I hear parents say to their children, "Quit acting like a child and start acting like an adult." How unrealistic and unfair that really is. Folks, it will never work. Now, God clearly distinguished in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 the difference between children and adults and behavior patterns and what ought to follow those of us who are children of God. The Lord tells us in that passage that you would not expect of new Christians what you would expect of people who have been in the kingdom of God for a long time. Peter says of those who are new in the kingdom that they're newborn babies. And he says they desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. But they cannot discern some of the word of God because they are only babes in Christ and not those who are full grown. But what also troubles me is those who are full grown in Christ, who know what the word of God teaches and yet they reject it and they turn away from it. Is it unrealistic for us to expect those who have been Christians for a long, long time to be faithful to God and to the church? Is it unrealistic for us to expect those of us who have been in the kingdom for a long, long time to be soul winners for the Lord? Is it unrealistic for us who believe that people ought to come to Bible study and that people ought to worship and that people ought to be here when the doors are open? I don't think that's unrealistic. Is it unrealistic for us to believe that those of us who have been in the church for a long, long time have a greater appetite for the Word of God and that they study the Word more and they search the Scriptures as Jesus taught in John 5 and verse 39 daily and that the Word of God has become a daily spiritual diet for them? That's not unrealistic. It would be for those who are babes in Christ. When the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 5 of that book and also in chapter 6 begins to deal with this subject, he says, for the time when you ought to be teachers of the Word of God, you've been in the church a long time, and when you ought to be teachers of the Word of God, you have need that someone teach you again. And notice what he says, which be the very first principles of the doctrine of Christ. He says, let us go on to perfection. And the word perfection there does not mean a flawless life, but it does mean spiritual maturity. Maturity. That we become mature Christians. That we are a people that love God. That we are mature enough to love. And that we are mature enough to allow ourselves to accept the Word of God. That we quit acting like children and start acting like spiritual adults. We don't fight like children do or pout. We don't have to be appeased. But we start acting like adults spiritually. We must grow. The book of 2 Peter 3:18 says that we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. It is the responsibility of parents to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And that even mothers are told that the older women are to teach the younger women to, listen to this, love their husbands. And to be keepers of the home. Proverbs 29:15 says that the rod and reproof will give wisdom, but a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. And I've seen it happen through the years. When children are not restrained and when they're not made to obey, they will disappoint you, and they will shame you. Now, I've seen parents sometimes who were so deliberate in not really disciplining their children, but determined that they're not going to use corporal punishment and determined that they're not going to punish their children when they do wrong. When their children cause problems, they say, well, it's not my fault. I can't do anything with him. And then they send him down to the local preacher and say, here, preacher, you do something about him. Is that unrealistic? I think it's an unrealistic expectation. The Bible in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, beginning at verse 13, says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. He may think he's going to. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Think about it. Delivering a child's soul from hell. Now let me move to another area. Do you think oftentimes, last of all, that we have unfair expectations of the church? I think we do. I do. Sometimes people demand and expect the church to do things that they are unwilling to do. And sometimes people will come into a church and think that everybody ought to just be hovering around them and loving on them and patting them on the back and all embracing them and all these kinds of things while they stand idly by. Solomon said if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. Sometimes preachers expect too much of the membership. I understand that. I know that. I know sometimes people get tired of me calling on them. And you know what? I generally wouldn't be calling on you if I felt it was someone else I could call on. Sometimes elders and deacons are sometimes too demanding of those in the church. But on the other hand, sometimes members of the body of Christ are too demanding of elders and deacons and preachers. They are demanding sometimes. And they feel like the preacher can fix it all. I know. I've been here 38 years. This preacher cannot fix it all. I've never attempted to fix it all. Nor the elders of the church here have tried to fix it all through the years, nor now, because we can't. And sometimes people are unfair when they say, you fix it. Sometimes when people could come into church, it amazed me. Dale and I have talked about this a number of times, how people will come up and say, did you know so-and-so's not coming? Have y'all been to see him? And Dale and I have started saying, yes, we've noticed that. Have you been to see them? Is that an unfair expectation? I don't think so. Sometimes people demand of preachers preaching that pleases. Don't deal with certain sin. Deal with sin that is somewhat generic. Don't talk about my problem, but talk about problems that someone else might be experiencing in their relationship with God. Did you know the religious leaders in the day of Jesus often imposed upon other people what they were unwilling to assume themselves? They did. Jesus says, you lay heavy burdens on people and you're unwilling to bear it yourself. Some people are unrealistic. They are. In their demands of others. Sometimes people want a quickie sermonette and in and out of here. And if the preacher preaches a little bit too long, God forbid. But isn't it amazing that those same folks can go and sit and watch a Maverick game or a ball game for 2 or 3 hours and holler and yell like a bull. Not a Chicago bull, that is. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I mean, had you been at the feet of Jesus when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, I hope Jesus got that in 30 minutes. I wonder what the reaction of folks might be. Beware of men who expect too much. However, by the same token, remember that God has called us to serve, and that there are expectations the Lord has placed upon us. If a man is a preacher, he is to preach. He is to declare the word of God and declare it in its pristine beauty and not hold back from preaching the truth, come hell or high water. You tell it like it is. You preach the gospel. And if a man serves as an elder, let him pastor. You know, sometimes I wonder what the average member of the church thinks the role of the elder is. Sometimes people begin, it's like people with a preacher, you know, they do the same thing. You know, they preach, the preacher ought to do this, preacher needs to be doing this, preacher needs to be doing that. They've established the criteria. They don't allow God to do that. And the same thing was true with those in leadership positions, be it an elder, deacon, or whatever. The Bible says, if a man's a deacon, let him serve. Acts chapter 6. If a man is a teacher of the word of God, Ephesians chapter 4, let him teach. And be prepared when you teach. Don't rush in at the last minute and try to come up with some kind of quickie lesson. I've got to teach today. I've got to get this done. But be prepared. People know when you are and when you aren't. Expectations. I hope tonight that each of us will stop and think about our expectations of one another. Are they realistic? Are they unrealistic? Are they too demanding? You know, it might encourage all of us to look at ourselves, first of all, and say, have I been too demanding? Have my expectations been too high? And most of all, have they been my expectations, or are they God's expectations? You see, it's really what God expects, isn't it? It's not what I expect. It's what God expects. And if we meet with God's approval, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we stand as those who are approved of God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. If you're a Christian here tonight and you honestly in your heart of hearts, and sometimes it's hard for us to do that, certainly in a 30-minute session, or this has been 45, and I apologize for going over tonight. I hope I didn't create a real problem here for many of you that were going out. But I hope you'll really think about it. And perhaps maybe if your expectations have been a little bit too extreme in any area, we just touched on a few of them here tonight, then I hope you'd be courageous enough to say, you know what? What God's saying is true. What the Word says is true. And I'm wrong. And I'm willing to admit it. And I'm willing to do better. And I hope that whether you come up to the front tonight to acknowledge that in your own way, that when you leave tonight, that you'll say that in your heart and in your spirit. God, forgive me. Help me to do better. Help me not to demand of others what I'm unwilling to demand of myself. And if you're not a Christian tonight and yet you believe in Jesus with an humble heart, if you're willing to come tonight to acknowledge that and through a penitent heart, that is one that's willing to change, and you're willing to be baptized tonight for the forgiveness of your sins, then God will forgive you. And he'll raise you up out of that water, a child of God. And there's nothing more thrilling than that. And I hope it's that thrilling moment for you tonight while we stand and while we sing.
Jesus.